Okay, evil exists. Doesn't take much to convince anyone in our world that our world has a lot of evil, right? And if this is even your first week joining us at Northside for the last week of our Good and Evil series, you are already on the same page with us. Evil exists. It's in our world. It's in the U.S. It's here in Chicago. It's in the suburbs. Suburb people, all right? It's in our workplaces. It's in our neighborhoods. It's in our schools. It's in our families. It's in ourselves. Yikes. We're all born sinners, right? We're born with a sin nature. And in this series, we have learned that evil exists because, one, God allows it. Hard to swallow, but he is a sovereign God. He is in control. He allows evil. We learned that Satan afflicts it, but God limits him. He's got to ask permission of God of what he can and cannot do. And we also learned this, biggie, we choose it. We give in to our sin natures, and we do what we know is wrong. We also learned last Sunday, we had a little rally, that we as children of God can defeat evil and become when we become a child of God. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. Christ overpowered evil and death when he died on his cross, right? And his death and resurrection, when he did that, he beat down the grave. He beat it. So as children of God, when we trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we get that. We get to not have to deal with death. We don't have to deal with eternal separation from God. We get life. We beat death as children of God. We also learn that Satan loves to afflict evil, but he doesn't have a reign here on earth forever. Matter of fact, he doesn't even have a reign in hell forever. He is limited, and he will be suffering. But sometimes you and I, at least I, have this concept in our mind that while here on earth, when evil is rampant, Satan is winning. And when good prevails, God is winning. It's like this spiritual tennis match, right? And it's going back and forth. And when evil's winning, Satan's winning. And when good prevails, God is winning. And I want one thing straight this morning. I want you and I to walk out these doors with one thing. If you take away one thing this morning, even in the midst of an evil world, God is still winning. Amen. He still is winning. God's part in the victory over evil is not just the end, when Satan gets thrown into a fiery lake of burning sulfur, like we hear in Revelation 20:10. Then the devil who had deceived them was thrown into a fiery lake of burning sulfur, joining the beast and the false prophet. There they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. God's victory is not just when that point happens. God's victory over evil is now. But you say, wait a second, Carrie. You know, I know you don't watch the news, but have you seen what is happening around the world? Have you heard of this little thing called ISIS, right? And their horrific acts of violence. I have totally heard of them, right? And Satan has heard about them. And when Satan sees that and knows it's happening, he thinks he's beaten God. And you say to me, what about children in poverty? All the kids that die of starvation and malnutrition. Satan knows about that, and he thinks he's beat God. You say, what about the Christians in Egypt who are massacred because of their faith? Satan's aware of that, and he thinks he's beaten God. What about the conflict happening in the Ukraine? Satan's aware of it, and he thinks he beat God. What about the AIDS epidemic in Africa? Satan's aware of it. He thinks he beat God. What about the high divorce rate? Not just among pagans of the world, but among Christians who claim Jesus is number one in their life and have great bumper stickers about it. What about the divorce rate there? Satan's aware of it, and he thinks he beat God. What about the increase of child abuse, child abductions, human trafficking? Satan knows about this, and he thinks he beat God. What about the senseless violence, the tyrannical leaders taking over countries, gang warfare, drug warfares, hit and runs, people taking advantage of elderly, theft, etc., etc.? Satan knows this, and he thinks he has beat God. Every time evil is rampant and we're aware of it, Satan thinks he has beat God. Flashback, first Easter 2,000 years ago. You know, Satan was giddy when Jesus was heading to the cross. He was darn right giddy, thinking he knows Jesus is God and Jesus is about to die. You know, when you watch the Super Bowl and you realize who's going to win, I say this every time. Guess what they're doing right now? They're printing the t-shirts, right? And that's what I think Satan was doing. You know, he thinks that Christ is about to die. God is about to die on the cross. And he's having logos formed in his head for his t-shirts. He's thinking, what am I going to do first? Who am I going to destroy first? Where am I going to build my mecca sanctuary to myself? What are they going to call me? He's thinking all the limits that God has placed on him are completely abolished. And I'm just imagining this, right? I'm just imagining that Satan thinks, I have beat God once again. I wonder what point in the story of Jesus' death on the cross that Satan went, uh-oh. You know? Uh-oh. Hebrews 2 says, because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, and the Son also became flesh and blood, for only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who had lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. And then in Colossians 2, it says, he canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, I love this, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. I was like, uh-oh. I thought I beat God. Satan thought he had him again. Evil can cause pain, but it can't beat God. It can never be God, because this is what we know about God. He is ruler of all. God answers to no one. God can accomplish whatever he wants. God sees history from the beginning to the end. No obstacle, no adversary can hinder his plan from happening. He is afraid of nothing, ignorant of nothing, needing nothing. He always knows what's best, and he never makes a mistake. You know what God's part is in the victory over evil? It's God just being God. It's God being God. Nobody can beat him. That's where our faith comes. That's where our courage comes. That's where our confidence comes. That's where the victory comes from. God being God. But Christians, know what we've done? We've said phrases like this over and over again. Like, what's the answer to this phrase? God is good.
All the time.
Right? All the time.
God is good.
Or we sing this. How great
is our God.
Right? Or we sing this oldie but 80s golden. All right? Our God is
an awesome God.
You got it, right? Our God is an awesome God. We say these things. We quote them to our Christian friends. We take these absolute truths and we've turned them into Christian cliches. We're so used to saying them that they've become kind of benign, right? Our God is an awesome God. What does that even mean? Our God is an awesome God. What power does that have? What is the reality of the phrase, our God is an awesome God? God is awesome. Look at the word that's in there. Awe is in there. Awe here means something we know of is causing or inducing awe. Not this kind of awe. Yeah, not that kind of awe. Not this kind of awe. An awe that inspires and overwhelms us, feeling of reverence, admiration, and fear. That kind of awe. That's our God is awesome. That's the awe I'm talking about. Not cute little kitties and kids with mustaches, all right? Not so cute when they get older, all right? God is awesome. He always wins. It's not the end battle. He wins now. Listen to God's words about himself and be awed by him. Isaiah 40, 25 through 31. To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Asked the Holy One. Look up into the heavens. Who created all the stars? Who brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name? Because of his great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. That's huge. Oh, Jacob, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? Oh, Israel, how can you say that God ignores your rights? Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Right? He is all that in a bag of chips. He is the cat's meow. He is better than any person or contraption or superhero or fairy tale or fake boyhood fake boyfriend you make up that lives in another state, or gadgets or inventions that we can ever conceive of in our minds. He is greater than that. Amen. So when we look at this and we say, God, say it with me, is ruler of all, answers to no one, can accomplish whatever he wants, sees history from the beginning to the end. No obstacle, no adversary can hinder his plan from happening. Is afraid of nothing, ignorant of nothing, needing nothing, always knows what's best, and never makes a mistake. That's an awesome God. When we think of the overwhelming reality of evil, we tend to make God smaller. We think this is so huge, he can't handle it. God can't handle the war. God can't handle terrorists. God can't handle famine. God can't handle destruction or chaos or a heart problem or politics or sorrow or oppression or a bad divorce or a broken heart or a shattered dream or a sick child or a dying spouse or a foreclosure or habitual sin or anything. We think he can't handle it. Our eyes make him smaller when evil is so huge around us. God does not become smaller because evil seems bigger. God still wins today. He is still awesome despite the choices of the evil world. He wins. What does that mean for us, right? Because it has to have an application for us. What does that mean for us, his children? First thing. Take the victory. Take the victory. You want to win with God? Then take the victory. You say, how in the world do I take the victory? Here is a big churchy word. You repent. You repent. You want the victory over sin and death? You repent. What that big churchy fluffy word you've probably heard a man screaming at you at the side of the road down a Mission Avenue saying? It means turn from your sin and turn to God. If you've never done it, the first time it means salvation. You say, I am sick of living my own way. I'm sick of living on my rules. I'm sick of believing I can get myself into heaven. I'm sick of believing that I'm in charge. And you say, I love you, Jesus. I don't know what that means yet, but I love you, Jesus, and I want you in my life. I am sorry that I have chosen anything over here besides you. And I know that your death on the cross brings me salvation. That's a first step in repentance. But even as a Christian, guess what? We sin. Even as a Christian, we make mistakes. And the second part is if you want the victory, you repent daily, hourly if you need to, minutes if you're at home with two crazy kids, all right? You repent right away. You turn from sin. Acts 3:19 says, now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Repentance equals refreshness. It's newness. It's a start over. It's a do-over. You want to win against evil? Own up to your part. Tell the truth with God. A lot of times, us Christians, okay, we feel like we're swimming in the sea of sin all by ourselves, right? If we actually fessed up and confessed that we're swimming in sin, we would be shocked at how many others have taken a little spin in the swimming pool with us. Some of us have swam in sin so long we've grown gills, right? We're swimming so long in it, we're actually adapting to it. God is always approachable. God already sees our nakedness. Sometimes we're afraid to go to God because we think we're going to shock him. You think you tell God a sin that you've done and you repent of that sin, he's going to be like, what? You did what? Like he's shocked? He totally knows when his kids are in the cookie jar. He knows when you have sinned. We are not tricking him. He sees everything. He's not on a 3-day cruise of the Holy Land and he comes back and goes, what did you do when I was gone? He knows what you do all the time. You want to win? Confess it to him and move on. Repent. Turn from it. Next thing, you want victory? Stop playing with temptation. Stop playing with it. Here's some truths about temptation. It will always be a part of your lives here on earth. It's always going to be here. You can wrap yourself in Christian bubble wrap and head to the mountains. You're going to find something that entices you there, okay? It will always be around. It's not just Satan tempts you. It's the world tempted you. We all got our own little things that tempt us. Temptation will always be here, part of this earth. Second thing, it's not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin to give in to the temptation. Right? I may feel tempted to have an extra dessert or four, or gossip about my neighbor, you know? Or I might be tempted with my eyes to lust after something, or cheat on an exam, or tell off my child's teacher. It's not a sin to be tempted, it's a sin to do it. The sin is actually when I do it. Sometimes we feel bad that we're tempted. That's not a sin to be tempted. We all face it. We all face the same temptations. Whether it's pride or power or sex or lying, of love of money or possessions, acting out in anger, revenge, we all face the same temptations. We're all in the same boat together. And the last truth about temptation, there's always a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, the temptations in your life are no different from others' experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you can endure. My favorite event at the school field days growing up was the tug of war, all right? I had some extra poundage that was helpful against the lightweight girls in my class, right? And I was gonna have a rope here, but I forgot to pull it out, all right? But I want you to picture temptation as you on one side of the rope and the temptation on the other side of the rope. And sometimes in our Christian circles, we think it's righteous to wrestle with temptation. Like, hey, I'm avoiding it. I'm not giving in to the temptation. You know, I'm winning here. I'm standing firm against it. This is what God wants you to do. Drop the rope. Drop the rope. He doesn't want you wrestling with temptation. It's like me buying a peanut butter chocolate pie and putting it on my counter and saying I've given up sweets for Lent and just have it out there as my temptation. Every time I walk by it, I look at it and say, oh, look at me, I'm wrestling sin. I'm fighting off temptation. I'm not eating it. I'm so great, hallelujah. You know? Why would I wrestle with temptation? Take the pie and chuck it out the window, right? It's not what you do. You have a trouble with lust with the eyes? Don't have the Victoria's Secrets catalog come to your house. Throw it away. It's not worth it. We're not supposed to wrestle with temptations. We're supposed to get rid of it. And God is serious about this. Listen to what He says. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better to enter eternal life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. God, it's not literal, but that's how serious God is about sin. If it's a sin and it's a temptation to you, get rid of it. In this curriculum that we're doing for our small groups, our session 4 on Good and Evil talks about getting rid of temptation in your life, about a Christian counselor counseling somebody who's had an affair, an extramarital affair. And the person says, well, I want to go and say goodbye. You know, I need to finalize it. I need closure. And they say, don't go back to that person ever. If you have to change jobs because you work with them, change jobs. If you have to move out of state because one state being in the same state is too much, move out of state. Do whatever you can to drop the rope of temptation. If you want a victory, drop the rope of temptation. Last thing, win in the trials. This is the part that we have a hard time. This is kind of the evilness. We think when there's evil or there's a situation going on where Satan, we think Satan's winning. Well, God wins in the trials too. He's God. A setback or a trial doesn't slow our God down, right? He works in our lives even through difficult spots. You know, many of the tough spots that you are in right now, that I've been in, was my own choice that led me there. Maybe it was your own choice that got you into a little bit of pickle, right? Or maybe it was the sin against you. You were a victim of sin that got you into a situation that you're in right now. Maybe it was just the world around you and the evilness of the world that got you into the situation that you're in. Or maybe it was a full-blown attack by Satan. I don't know. It doesn't matter where the trial came from. It's about what you do with it now for the win, right? If it's sin that got you there, go back to step one and repent. If it's sin that got you there, go back to step one and two and drop the rope of temptation. But if it's just evilness that got you there, take it for the win. Take your trial for the win. James 1, 2 through 4 says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind, come your way, consider an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. You want the win in a trial? Rejoice. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the cliche, God is good all the time. We say it, we chant it to our friends. This is putting your money where your mouth is. Is good God good all the time? He is. But you live like he's good all the time? Application question for you. How can you rejoice at what God is doing in your life through a problem you are facing right now? Right now. Problem you're facing right now. How can you rejoice in it? This isn't just words that we talk up here. This is about taking them and changing your lives through the power of Christ. What are you facing right now that you can switch it up for a win? Because right now, you're allowing Satan to have a fake win because he's not really winning. God wins. So what can you do to change it up that this trial in your life is for victory? The second thing that happens when you have a trial, it develops maturity in you. Look at that. Go down to the four. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect, complete, needing nothing. When you rejoice through trials, you will not be the same person on the other end of the trial that you were when you started that trial. You will be a different person. And that's where we celebrate God's win in your life. You will be a different person. You will be stronger. You will be more peaceful. You will be more joyful. What else can you learn from trials? It will enable ministry. 2 Corinthians 1:4 says, he comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. Your story through your trial, whether you brought it on yourself, you were a victim to it, your greatest ministry will most likely come out of your greatest pain. I have seen this. And some of you, I've shared my story with you. It was for that time and that purpose that I will take, or you will take, a heartache in your life and you will use it in a ministry so powerful you didn't even know that you'll ever be part in it because God selected it for that moment in time. Application right now. How can you begin to see what someone meant for evil as something God can use for the win? Your story, whether you fight addictions, or you had a bad divorce, or you were abused, or you were in jail, or whatever it was, you got your heart broken, you messed up, whatever it is, you can use that for a powerful ministry if you allow God to use you. God is winning, not eventually. He wins all the time. That is his part in this war against evil. He is God. Remember this. He is ruler of all. He answers to no one. He can accomplish whatever he wants. He sees history from the beginning to the end. No obstacle, no adversary. No one can hinder his plan from happening. He is afraid of nothing, ignorant of nothing. He needs nothing. He always knows what's best, and he never makes a mistake. Evil is real. It is real, right? But it's been won by an awe. Some God. We want the win. We got to start living that way. We got to repent. We got to take the victory. We got to drop the rope. And we got to win in the trials. We got to rejoice. We got to mature. And we need to minister. He is winning. You either join the winning team or you give Satan a lot of credit. But he ain't winning when our God is as powerful as he is. Father, thanks for this morning. We trust you, and we know that you don't make mistakes, and nothing can hinder what you want done, and we rest in that. And God, for us, your children too, we ask that whatever it is that's stopping us, Lord, from taking the win with you, whatever sin that we have not repented and turned away from, whatever rope that we are so holding on to, God, whatever trial that we're in that we just have not even thought once that we can rejoice in it or that we can mature in it or that we can minister in it, God, that you would speak so loud to us today that we could not help but to follow through. And when we sing, our God is an awesome God, or how great is our God, or we say God is good all the time, we will get the full impact of what that means. No one compares to you. You are creator God, eternal, everlasting. You hang the stars. You name them. You know the number of hairs on our head, God. You know everything about us. You know when we make mistakes and our hands have been in the cookie jar. Father, you know everything, and we rest in who you are. You are a winning, awesome God. Help us to claim that win with you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.